Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome once again to A Sound Heart. This afternoon, I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 14. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the stoicheia of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Amen. The foundation of our salvation is the resurrection of Christ. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, forgiving you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So this is a very powerful letter that Paul has written to the church at Colossae. And please note that Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus has to do with the body of Christ, and Paul's letter to the Colossians has to do with Christ as the kephale, that is, the head of the church. So Paul, speaking of salvation, he wants the believing community at Colossae to understand the finished work of Christ. So now notice in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. He is here talking to Gentile believers, and he wants them to understand what has happened through Christ on their behalf, what God has done for them. Verse 13, being dead, ontos, being dead. And so here we have the ontology of death being spoken of by the Apostle Paul, in your sins. And you and I know the word that has been translated as sins, hamartia, means to miss the mark, that is, to miss the goal or the bullseye of divine holiness. The uncircumcision of your flesh, the Gentile community had no covenant relationship with God. No covenant relationship with God. They were the ethne. They were part of the nations. The Gentiles were not divided into hues or colors. In the Bible, we have the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God, or the Jews, the ethne, and the Church of God only, period. Now notice verse 14, blotting out, that is removing completely, blotting out. Note the emphasis of the verb, blotting out, through the finished work of Christ, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The Roman law, if an individual, when an individual had been convicted of committing a crime or crimes, a list of those crimes were made, and this list of crimes would be nailed to the cell where the person would be remanded after he had been sentenced. And then when the sentence was over, Roman law would write tetelestai. It is finished. And so that crime or crimes would be blotted out, no more. So Paul uses this same very powerful word picture for you and I, so that you and I might understand that Christ Jesus has blotted out our sins, plural, our sins. When you and I believe in Christ, and in the Gospel of John, the word believe is used over 98 times. I will never use the words accept Christ as your personal Savior. You will never find that syntactical arrangement of words in the Greek New Testament. The Bible states believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said believe. Paul writes believe, not accept Christ as one's personal Savior. In the Greek, the idea is to believe into the person of Christ. There is the initial belief, and then the individual is to grow in the meaning of that initial belief, ever deeper into what it means to be conjoined to Jesus Christ in salvation. You and I are saved on the basis of the finished work of Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. The blood of Jesus took that the handwriting of ordinances against you and I out of the way, blotting out our criminal liability. We are set free by Christ. Now notice, he nailed our penalty to the cross, or what we were due, or what was due us, our condemnation for being sinners. So Jesus died for you and me. Now believe on Christ and you will be saved. The word saved in the Bible means to be rescued or to be dragged out of danger. We are saved by grace through faith in the person of Jesus. And so, if you want to explain to an individual what it means to be saved, it means to believe into the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he said that I teach you what I have received, that Jesus died, he was buried, both aorist, and that he rose again, perfect tense. So Jesus died, aorist tense, at a point in time this event happened. Jesus was buried at a point in time, aorist tense. Then Jesus rose again, perfect tense. And so we have the salvation message. Jesus died on our behalf. Jesus died for sinners. Now, there are those who believe that you and I do not have to go before God and confess our sins and tell God that ask for salvation and know that we need salvation. There are certain therapies, psychotherapies, etc., that say that people are not bad. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible never says people are bad. The Bible states that what you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. And so it is imperative to understand the biblical language and what this means. Some people say, well, I am a good person, and they have a resume available as to why they believe they are good. The Bible states that you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. This has nothing to do with the human estimate of who and what we are. This has to do with divine viewpoint and the character of God, God's holiness, God's righteous indignation towards sin, God's absolute holiness. This has to do with the impeccable nature of Christ. He is the God-man. He is the Theanthropos. He is the incarnation of the will of God. He is the Logos. He is both God's. He is God's thought and word, or the expression of God's thinking to man. He is the Logos. And so you and I come to Christ, and it is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he died on our behalf, our guilt, the penalty, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That penalty is removed. The wages of sin are death, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. You come to Christ. You receive him as your Savior. You are not in danger of the second death, which is eternal separation from God. And so God is waiting for you to come to him, to confess your need for a Savior so that you can be set free. There are all types of cults. There are people who are involved in satanic worship, all types of rituals. People have abused themselves with drugs, with the poisons of the pharmakia. The word in the Bible for drug abuse is pharmakia. It means sorcerer. And so taking drugs opens one's heart to demonic spirits. You can be set free from all this pollution, the moral and spiritual filth of the world, if you come to Christ and allow him to clean your life with his precious blood. He will save you. He will give you a brand new life. He will cleanse you. Tell God your need. Drop down on your knees before him. Tell God that you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Please read 1 Corinthians 15, the entire chapter. Please read John chapter 3, verse 16. Please read 1 Peter, the first chapter, the entire chapter. Read these verses and also read the entire book of Romans, which talks about God's plan of salvation and how you and I are justified by faith in Christ. Good afternoon, and God bless you.